Amen. So it's great to be back here with all of you again tonight. I appreciate the opportunity once more to get up and to preach the Word of God to you. And I'm always encouraged when I come up here just to see you guys being faithful, sticking by the stuff and continuing on and just continue to do the work that is so important that we're doing, just going out and preaching the gospel. So again, it's always my privilege really to come up here and just see all of you once again. And tonight I want to preach a sermon on esteeming others better. You know, we need to, in our lives, make sure that we're not thinking too highly of ourselves or not think that there isn't opportunity for us to do better and to grow. And often, the way that we're going to grow is by looking to the people that are, in fact, doing better than us. Now, if you look here in Philippians chapter number 2, it says in verse 1, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. So this is a command in Scripture. This isn't just a philosophy or a suggestion, but we are told here in the epistles that we are to esteem others better than ourselves. You know, we should look at other people and care more about their benefit, how we can help them. And of course, you know, we could kind of just apply this to common courtesy. And the way I'm going to kind of take this tonight, though, also, is the fact that, you know, we need to, rather than being envious and rather than striving and having strife among ourselves and comparing ourselves to other people, you know, we should look at other people that perhaps are in some ways better than us in some area. And rather than, you know, being envious about that or having strife about that, just accept that fact and actually esteem them and say, hey, you know, this person is better than me in this area. How can I improve, right? How can I, you know, what can I learn from them? What can I take from them? But this is not the, you know, human tendency. Often people, when they see someone doing better than them, their tendency is to become envious and they don't want to have to actually do the hard work of getting better. Now, I'm going to come back to Philippians. But if you would, just go over with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Let me, you know, I made the statement that, in fact, some people are better. You know, some people are just going to be, and that's not, you know, just inherent, you know, they're just inherently better just by virtue of who they are. Often the people that are better than us in some area, it's because they put in a lot of diligence and hard work. They put a lot of effort to improve themselves. And really, that's something that we should look at in other people and actually esteem them that they're better and lift and say, hey, you know, this person has, you know, give them some credit, really. Just say, you know, they've done a lot of hard work to get where they're at and not just be bitter and envious and have strife among ourselves. Again, people that are truly better, it's, again, not because they're just inherently better. It's because they've done the hard work to become so. And so I'm kind of just clarifying this statement that, you know, some people are better than others, right? I don't want to get the wrong idea out there. The fact is, you know, we're all equal in God's eyes. We're all on the same level, right? When we compare ourselves to Christ, you know, we're all pretty low. In fact, if you look here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 26, it says, for you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And then he goes on here. We'll read it here in a second. And this is just a very blunt statement from Paul. You know, we talked about this morning, you know, how this is kind of one of those harsh letters. And Paul here, just right out of the gate, is basically just saying, hey, you guys aren't, none of us are noble. You guys aren't, there's nothing really inherently special about you. Look at verse 27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world to confound the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. So when you kind of think about this, basically Paul at the beginning of the epistle is just saying, hey, you know, not many are noble, meaning you guys aren't noble. Hey, God has chosen the foolish things, you know, you guys, right? Us, right? He's chosen the foolish things. He has chosen the weak things. He's not, you're not strong, you're weak. He's saying he's chosen the base. He's basically calling them these things. And you know, honestly, that's what we are. You know, if we just took an honest inventory of ourselves and who we are, you know, before God, we would agree with all this. We would say, you know what? I have done foolish things. I am weak. I am base. I am despised. Those things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, which things are not to bring the things that not that are not bring to not the things that are. So basically, you know, we need to understand, first of all, that we are all of these things. And so when I'm saying that other people are better, I'm not saying it's just some kind of inherent, you know, thing that where they're just better just by default. It's because they've recognized these things about themselves and have gone about doing the hard work of improving. And you say, well, why would God use people like this? Why would God use the weak and the foolish and the things that are base and despised? Well, it's because of verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, there are a lot of other, you know, there's many other people that are probably better speakers than myself. In fact, that's a given fact. That's not even a maybe, right? There are people who are much better speakers than me, much better leaders than me, much better pastors, could be potentially be much better pastors than me. There's people that are, you know, much better than you in a lot of different areas. But really, when it comes down to it, where are those people? What are they doing? They're using a lot of their skills and abilities, not for the things of Christ, but the things to both just, you know, edify themselves and to gratify themselves. They're using those things to go out and get worldly gain. And, you know, that God's fine with that. God doesn't need, you know, the most stellar people with the most talented people to accomplish a great work. In fact, for what we're reading here, God prefers and God, in fact, has chosen the weak and the despised, and God has used in the things which are base, the things which are just noble, the ordinary, common person in order to accomplish his will and so that he would receive all the glory. And of course, he ends it here in verse 30 and says, but if he of him are ye in Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So he's not just trying to cut us down here, but he's trying to just remind us that who we are, you know, what matters about us is who we are in Christ, okay? So I'm just saying here, look, we're all equal. You know, that's the good news, right? Yeah, some people are better because they've done the work, but really, we're all equal. It's just, you might not want to get too excited about that because we're all on a pretty lowly plane here. We're all in a pretty lowly position. Now, if you would, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Now, the title of the sermon, again, is that we need to, what? Esteem others better. Esteem others better. And just think about how much a, you know, better world this would be, how much better your church would be, how much better your marriage would be, how much, you know, just every relationship you have would be, how much better it would be if you would just learn to esteem the other person better. You know, if you just put their needs first, you put what they needed, and you look to them and what you could do for them, rather than just trying to get everything for yourself, rather than trying to see what you can get out of your church or what you can get out of a relationship, you know, it's better to esteem others better and say, hey, what can I do for them, right? Now, he says here in verse 12, we dare not to make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. So what he's saying is, you know, we don't want to be the people that compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. When we esteem others better, what we're doing is we have to have humility. We have to be willing to say, hey, this person is better than me. But the tendency, again, is for people to compare themselves with them that commend themselves. You know, people that in general, they like to lift themselves up. And how do people do this? They do this by bringing other people down, right? It's a lot easier to bring somebody else down, to tear somebody else down in your mind or nitpick or be critical of somebody else rather than to find somebody that's actually better than you and lift yourself up, right? It's real easy to go find someone who's doing worse than you, right? When we compare ourselves among ourselves, you know, what we tend to do rather than, you know, looking to somebody who's actually better and trying to get better ourselves, what we tend to do is we go find somebody who's doing worse than us and say, well, I'm not as bad as this person. You know, and that's what people typically do. They say, well, you know, I'm not everything I should be or could be, but I'm not this guy, right? You know, I'll pick on myself a little bit this evening. You know, I'm sure this might come as a shock to some of you, you know, but I've got a little bit of weight to lose. You know, that's one of my New Year's resolutions. right? So I'm not, you say how much? Well, that's my business, all right? So, you know, somebody with a side angle over here, you're like, we can tell, right? We know exactly, we have a pretty good idea how much you need to lose, buddy. You know, and it'd be real easy. Let's just throw a number out there. Let's just say, oh, I don't know, 60 pounds, okay? So, you know, we'll just throw that out there. You know, that's your goal. You know, that's a lot of hard work, okay? And here's the thing. It'd be real easy for me to say, well, instead of doing all that hard work or losing that weight that I need to lose, it'd be a lot easier to just go find somebody who has to lose 100 pounds and say, well, yeah, maybe I got to lose some weight, but I don't have to lose 100 pounds. I mean, look at this guy over here, right? And this is what people typically do. They commend themselves, how? By comparing themselves to other people, typically comparing themselves to people that are not that are worse off, right? We might have some problem that we need to fix. You know, our marriage is not what it should be. And it's like, well, hey, my marriage might be bad, but it's not as bad as so-and-so's over there. I mean, look at their marriage. Their marriage is terrible, right? We might, you could apply this in so many areas. You could just take, just apply this in so many different areas of life where we just look at other people and just say, well, yeah, I've got some areas for improvement, but you know what? I'm doing okay because I'm doing a lot better than somebody that's worse off. That's a pretty poor standard. Look, we run into this all the time out soul winning, right? This is what people do. They commend themselves by saying, well, yeah, I'm going to heaven because I'm not a murderer. I'm not a rapist. You know, it's like, well, good for you, man. Pat on the back. Here's your gold star. You know, wow. You know, what a righteous individual, right? And obviously, I'm being very sarcastic about that. But this is just human nature. This is what we do. We like to compare ourselves to other people that are doing worse off and then say, well, you know what? Maybe I have work to do, but that guy's got a lot more than me. But they, measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves, the Bible says, among themselves, are not wise. This is not a wise way to live your life. You're not going to make the improvements that you need to make. You're not going to get any better if all you do is go around in life and just find people that are worse off than you and say, well, it could be worse. I could be them. I could be doing, you know, where they're at. The only way we're really going to improve is when we esteem others better than ourselves, right? When we look, actually find somebody that's succeeding and doing better than us, and rather than being envious, actually looking to those individuals, say, what can I learn from them and how can I improve? You know, this is something that we should be doing in all areas of our life. You know, when we're first starting out, you know, it may be in marriage, you know, it might be helpful to kind of pay attention to people around you who have a good marriage and take notes. Now, I'm not saying you need to walk up and, you know, get a full, 5,000 word essay from somebody. It's like, how do you have a good marriage? You know, that's something that you kind of learn as you go, but it's, you know, watch the people around you. Watch the people that are, you know, raising good kids. What are they doing, right? And here's a great thing is you had a pastor that's, you know, teaching you all those things and has demonstrated those things and is living those things. You know, that's a great example right there. Not just behind the pulpit. I mean, this church is full of good families that love God, that have good kids. And there's people that you could look to in this church and improve in different areas of life. What's marriage? How about, you know, the topic of soul winning? You know, we don't want to get all puffed up and think that, you know, we're the greatest soul winner ever or we're just better than somebody else. You know, we want to make sure that we're having a humble attitude about that and being always willing to learn from other people and, you know, and their different soul winning methods. You know, I remember years ago, I had been soul winning in this church for several years. You know, I'd already been at it. I won many souls to Christ. And then Pastor Anderson got up and preached a couple of sermons called Soul Winning Instructions 1 and 2. And, you know, I heard those and I said, you know what? I feel like I could improve in this area. So I just literally scrapped everything that I was doing, my whole soul winning presentation, which really wasn't that much different. And I said, I'm just going to do it just like he laid it out. I'm going to do it just like he instructed. You know, use the same verses, you know, and make a lot of the same applications as I go. And that really helped me. That really improved my soul winning. You know, and that's just another, you know, that's an example of something that we could all could do. We could always be looking to other people that are, you know, successful, have done well, have improved in certain areas, have put in that hard work and say, how can I improve? What can I do? How can I follow their example? And look, and he's saying it's not wise, right? Obviously, it's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves because, you know, that at the end of the day, you know, your neighbor isn't the standard by which you need to measure your life. You know, that would be Jesus, right? Now, again, it's not, there's no problem in looking to somebody for an example, you know, a path to follow, or, you know, just some kind of guidance, but it's not like, well, hey, I'm finally doing better than so-and-so, I've arrived, right? I finally, you know, I did everything they're doing, and in fact, I'm doing it better, you know, I'm king of the hill now. Well, no, you still have another example to look to. It's called the Lord. It's called Jesus, and you're going to have to strive for that one, you know, every day. Now, if you would, go over to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. You look at verse 1. I'll just begin reading there. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Verse 3. "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." You know, this is one of, I really love this verse because of the way it ends. It doesn't say he's hoodwinked everybody else, right? He's buffaloed everyone else. It says the only person that he's deceiving is himself. Because here's the thing, if we're going to esteem others better, if we're going to look at other people and say, you know what, that person's better than me in this area, how can I improve? You know what it's going to take is humility. And pride is just probably one of the biggest struggles, I think, that we have. And it's so subtle, and it just creeps into our lives. And what we end up doing is thinking that we're something that we're not. We start to think that, hey, you know, we're really something here, and the only person we're really deceiving is ourselves. You know, a lot of times people can just look at us and say, you know, that guy thinks he's something, and he's really nothing. And you know, this is blind, our pride just has this blinding effect on our lives. And he's saying, look, you're the only person you're fooling when you think you're something and you're nothing is yourself. And he goes on and says, "But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now, what's great about this verse, and typically a lot of times the way you hear this verse preached is, hey, you're going to reap what you sow, so don't go sowing bad seeds, right? Which is obviously very applicable, great application, and that's definitely, you know, something we need to take heed to. But another way you can look at this is that you have, you know, if you have some improvement to do, you know, you have opportunity to improve, basically. You know, what this is also a promise, right? Because he says, "He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So this law of sowing and reaping, it can work for you or against you. And all I'm saying tonight is that we need to look at ourselves, look at areas in our lives that we can improve, and make sure that we're making those improvements. We need to make sure that we're sowing the seeds that we need to be sowing, those good things, right? We have this opportunity to improve. Go over to, we're in Galatians, go over to Philippians chapter number 2, Philippians chapter number 2, where we started there, Philippians chapter number 2. Again, he says in verse 1, "If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but lowliness of mind, and let each esteem other better than themselves." So, you know, that's the thrust of my message tonight, is that we need to look at other people, and rather than trying to tear them down or, you know, just be envious and have strife, we need to look at people that truly are doing better than us and see how we can improve. And look, if you're sitting there thinking, "I can't think of anybody that's doing better than me," you have a problem, right? You have pride, right? And that's why he says, but in lowliness of mind, right? It takes a lowliness of mind. You know, and the point of going to 1 Corinthians is to remind us that we don't have anything to be puffed up over. We should all have lowliness of mind. You know, who are any of us? You know, we don't want to think too highly. Without Christ, we're nothing. Without Christ, we're just a bunch of base, foolish, despised, weak people. That's the truth of us, we might not like to hear that, but really that is the case. And anybody that's, gone beyond that, it's through the grace of God, and it didn't just happen automatically, right? They put in a lot of work often to make that happen. And people might be thinking, I've made a lot of improvements. I really don't know what it is I need to work on. You're not being very specific tonight, Pastor Russell. Well, my recommendation would be to go home and pray about it. Go home and find a quiet space and just ask God, to bring to your mind, what it is, some area you need to work on. I bet you that prayer gets answered real quick. I bet you probably won't even have to get down on your knees. God will already see you coming and be like, it's this, right? You're thinking about doing it and it's already come to your mind. You've already thought, hey, this is making a lot of sense. There's some things I need to work on. I mean, it's the new year. We're kind of already thinking that way. That's something we all need to just continue to improve on is making sure that we don't get to this place where we think, well, I've arrived. I'm already doing everything I need to do. And we need to have lowliness of mind. We need to esteem others better than themselves. He goes on and says in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Made himself of no reputation. And obviously that applies to not having pride, right? I've already touched on that. But we don't want to go to this other extreme either, where we start to think, you heard what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians, I'm nobody and I'm nothing and, I'm just this lowly person, and just start having this, sense of self-loathing, right? People, when we're saying we want to esteem others better than themselves and acknowledge people that have, exceeded us in certain areas, we don't want to also fall into this trap of just self-pity. We're just like, oh, I'll never be as good as them. I'll never be able to achieve what they achieve. I'll never, be able to do what they do. But here's the thing, if we're all starting at the same from the same place, what makes that person differ from another? What do they have that they did not receive? Right? So the good news is that, we can all achieve great things. Now look, obviously we're not all going to have the same opportunities, just because of our positions in life, right? Because the different jobs and the duties and the roles that we play, but we can all do well in those roles. We can all improve in those roles. We can all excel in those roles. And we shouldn't just have this idea, I'll never be as good as so-and-so because I'm dirt. I'm just this worthless, person and I can never do it. We need to, it's great that you have, so little pride, I guess, but, we also don't want to just use as an excuse to not improve. And again, the reason why people come up with these excuses is because improving is hard. It's difficult. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of consistency. And people don't want to do hard work. They want to take the easy way. And sometimes the easy way is people just, being, overly self-deprecating. They just want to think too little of themselves and just think that there's no potential for them at all. That's not true. we could all do great works in whatever role we play in life, but again, it's going to require lowliness of mind. It's going to require looking to other people that have excelled and exceeded, what we've done, and to actually learn from them. I really didn't want to use this quote, but now I have to because I brought it up. There's a saying called, success leaves clues. Who's ever heard that one? All right, so I'm dropping a real gem right now because only a few hands went up, right? And it's a Tony Robbins quote. I'm sorry, But hey, the guy was right about that. I don't listen to a lot of Tony Robbins, but, he did say that, and, that's true. If we want to do better, we want to exceed, if we want to improve, You know, we should look at people that have done what we're trying to achieve and say, well, what did they do? How did they improve? Right? You say, you know, maybe you're a guy out there who wants to get better at preaching. Don't look to me, okay? You know, you got a great pastor, though, right? You got a great preacher. You know, you could look and say, hey, what did he do? Right? How did he get better? Right? Or maybe there's another guy in the preaching class who's doing really well. You know, and rather than sitting there and being envious and being angry and you know, just thinking, well, you know, was it really that good or whatever? You know, you could say, well, what did I like about that sermon? What can I take it for? Well, you know, how did they present it? You know, what is it about I like? How can I make that my own? How can I do the same thing? Right? Because anyone who's achieved anything, right, they'll tell you it's possible for anybody if they're willing to do the work. If they're willing to put in the hard work, they will succeed. And we all have an opportunity to improve. Anyway, that was kind of a rambly sermon. And it's going to be a little bit of a short one. But, you know, I felt like that was an important message. You know, it's a pretty basic thought, right? But it's an important one. You know, we need to be people who, you know, are willing to be humble enough to look at other people who are succeeding and say, if we want that, rather than trying to tear them down, say, well, what are they doing that's right? What are they doing that's, you know, causing them to have the success they're having? How can I emulate that? How can I, you know, follow in their footsteps? Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that something that was said tonight would be beneficial to your people, Lord, that you would use the word of God to stir our hearts, and Lord, that you would just challenge us, Lord, to see ourselves for what we are. Lord, help us to understand that without you, Lord, we can do nothing. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just improve as Christians in whatever capacity we serve on all the different roles that we play, Lord. You'd help us to get better, and Lord, that you'd help us to look to other people around us who are succeeding in the Christian life, who are accomplishing great things. And Lord, help us look to them as examples. Help us to not be bitter or envious or angry or upset, but actually, Lord, to help us to follow in their footsteps. And Lord, we just thank you that we have an opportunity to be used by you in whatever capacity we are used in this life. It's in your name we pray, amen.